Good morning, and we welcome you this morning to our worship service, and so delighted to have each and every one of you here, and folks here for the very first time, and we're delighted that we have the opportunity and the freedom to worship the Lord today, and I trust that we'll not take that for granted. Let's stand together and sing, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Standing and pray with me. Father, we thank you so much today for your presence in our life, and we thank you that you have promised to the believer that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank you for that. I thank you for, again, the security that we find in you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have today to assemble together and worship and praise your name. May you work in each heart and each life that's represented in this service this morning, and we thank you that you do know the longings, the needs, and of each heart, of each individual here. And how I trust that today, those that may possibly be discouraged, leave encouraged. Those who are maybe have a heavy burden in their life, that they'll be able to leave a little lighter in their step because they've been able just to cast all of their care upon you because you care for them. Whatever the need is, Father, I know you know how to best meet that need. And we do thank you today for, again, the privilege that we have to worship you. And may you allow us to continue to have this freedom in our country. And we do pray for our country this morning and ask that there would be a spiritual healing that would take place across our land, that people's hearts would be turned toward you, because we realize that the only hope for this country is found in the person of the Lord Jesus. And so may there be a turning unto him. And so now work in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing, if you would, as we sing, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia.
And as we do seek first the kingdom of God, and then decide to live for him and serve him, this next song says there is joy in serving Jesus. So let's sing right out on this song. Let me share with you one special challenge that we want to put before you, and then we'll sing another song here in just a moment. But every year, our children and our teenagers get to go to Camp Kobiak, which is up in Houghton Lake, and Bible camp started many, many years ago. But as a result of the virus this summer, a lot of Bible camps across the nation just weren't able to be open, not just Bible camps, just any camps. And so they also got hit. They were able to do just 1 month of camp, but that was it. And so they have, because of that, they have lost revenue. And they're trying to make that up and try by the end of the year to raise $100,000. And just to be able to make ends meet, meet staff expense, and so forth. And so we want to put before you on September 13th, we are going to take up a special love offering for Camp Kobiak. Our goal is $1,000. And so want you to participate in this, be praying about it, and just give you that opportunity. I'm putting it out there a little bit so you can be praying about it, you can plan for it, and that'll be on September 13th. Again, just helping this camp out. They've been so faithful through the years. Many people's lives have been changed and so forth. Some people are now in ministry as a result of just going to a week of Bible camp. And so I want to encourage you to be prepared for that special offering on September 13th, and I will share more reminders about that to you. But again, $1,000 that we are trying to raise there to be a blessing to them and help them out during this downtime. All right, you know, the Bible talks about how that we ought to be like the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 8 that God is in the process right now for each believer to conform us to the image of his Son. And that's what this next song is all about. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee. And as we sing the last verse, we get to the chorus. Let's have you drop out there if you would, Sherry, on this last verse.
Oh, to be like me while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple made for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Amen. Would you take God's word if you brought a copy of it this morning? Maybe you have your Bible on phone. Whichever tool you have in front of you, the Word of God, either way on the phone or actual copy, turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 this morning, and we want to look, if you would, at verse number 11 through verse number 14. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11 through verse number 14. I thought last Sunday would have been my last sermon on the prophetic series, but actually God led me to this week and to share this message with you, because a lot of the things that we looked at over the last few months in respect to prophecy, we realize that a lot of that isn't going to apply to the church. And so the question then comes, so what? What does this all mean to me here living in August of 2020? What does the coming of Christ mean to me? What's the big so what? And actually, here in Romans 13, you see, if you would, an answer to that so what. Here's how then we ought to live. And so let's notice in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Father, I do thank you now for this passage of Scripture. May the Holy Spirit of God just do a mighty work in our hearts as a result of listening to your word this morning. There is a big so what. This is how we are to live in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit examines our life this morning, may we see and check and ask ourselves, am I really living my life in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus? So speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Your love is perfect and it overwhelms me. Words fail me. Your heart is what I can see. Alone is a word I cannot comprehend. I found a peace that only He can send. Jesus is the rock on which I stand.
That's a great place to stand, is it not? Jesus is the rock on which I stand. Thank you for that, Catherine, this morning. A little girl was having trouble sleeping one night, and so her bedroom was upstairs, and every few minutes her parents would hear those little feet just going down the hallway and coming down to see them. First, she wanted a drink of water. Then she wanted a cookie. And then she wanted to know what time it was. Finally, her parents' patience just ran out. And they said to her that if she came downstairs one more time, she was going to be in big trouble. Well, all the little girl could do was lie in bed and listen to the striking of the grandfather clock downstairs. After the clock chimed 11 o'clock, something happened mechanically because the clock continued to chime. And when the old clock chimed the 18th time, the little girl just got out of bed and ran downstairs and said, "Mom, Dad, it's later than it's ever been." And may I say this morning, based upon this text, that it is later than it has ever been. Jesus Christ is coming. Remember when, in the book of Acts, that when Jesus ascended back into heaven, then it was said to the disciples that this same Jesus that you have seen go will come in like manner. So ever since he ascended back into heaven, the promise rings true that the great hope of the believer is that Jesus Christ is coming again. And so this morning we want to look at a message entitled, "What Time Is It?" What time is it? And here in this passage, there's a very practical passage of Scripture that shows us then, here's how we ought to live in light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he can come at any moment. And notice with me, if you would, that in light of the time, knowing that it is drawing near, we must wake up. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11, and he says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time," in other words, it is beyond time to awake out of sleep, "for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." I wonder this morning, physically, did you have a hard time waking up? Did you just want to lay in bed a little while longer? I don't know about you. My wife and I happened to go to bed early for us, and I said, I don't really want to do this, but I was tired, but I knew exactly what would happen, because my body, I don't care what time I go, about 5 hours is about it. So I thought, well, that'll be about 2 o'clock, and sure enough, 2 o'clock. So I got up, read my Bible, spent some time in prayer, but part of me wanted to just say, no, just hang in there. Just try to go back to sleep. Wouldn't have done any good. I would have just tossed and turned. And there are times in our life physically where we do want more sleep. But spiritually speaking, as Paul is writing to these believers, he is saying, in light of the return of Jesus Christ, it is time to wake up. Don't allow yourself, he says, to get in a state of spiritual stupor or a state of spiritual sleep. He says, I want you to be alert, because we find that it is time to wake up because of what time it is. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says this in that passage of Scripture, "This know that in the last days perilous times shall come." And here we are many years removed from when that was written. And he says, you are going to live in troublesome times. You are going to live in perilous times. And I don't think there's any of us here this morning that do not think that the day and age in which we live is not troublesome. They are difficult days. They are troublesome days. And yet the Bible says, know this, that it's important for you to wake up because perilous times are going to come. Our salvation, our deliverance is nearer than when we believed. And so in light of the troublesome times in which we are living in, we then as the church are called upon to be very spiritually alive, very spiritually alert in light of the coming of these troublesome times. And you say, Pastor, you think it'll get any better? I don't know, other than the Bible does say this, that things are going to get worse and worse. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen quickly. That could be over a spread out amount of time. But nonetheless, the Bible does say that things will get worse. But understand, we're not looking, if you would, toward the times. We are to be looking up, because our salvation, our deliverance is nearer than when we believed. You'll find, if you would, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Keep your place there in Romans, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here he is writing to a young church of believers, and he says to them in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 6, he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others." Again, he's not talking about physical sleep. He's talking about being in a spiritual state of sleep. And he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Look now at verse number 8. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we are not looking, if you would, for the tribulation. We are looking for this deliverance, this rapture of the church. And he says in this context, in light of that, he says, "I want you to realize that you are children of the day. You are not children of the darkness. You are children of light. And so we're to let our light shine. We're to be salt and light in this present world." And in this context, he says, because the coming of Christ is near, wake up and have the right priorities. We sang it this morning, "Seek ye first." Well, Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Now, with that in mind, think about this. He says here, in light of what time it is, he says, "I want you to wake up." When you are spiritually alert, he says, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to have the right priorities. You're going to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you, practically speaking in your life, would you say that you have been seeking Jesus Christ first in your life? Would you say he is the priority in your life? Or is he just a part of your life? Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the control of God. Seek first his dominion over our life." So does the Lord Jesus Christ have dominion? Now again, in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying, "I want you to wake up and have the right priorities." Every one of us here this morning, from young to old, we have priorities, right? We all have priorities. But if you were to list your priorities, would Jesus be at the top? And I'm not talking about coming to church once a week. I'm talking about that you, every day, are seeking God's will for your life. You are in the Word of God. You're spending time in prayer. Those kinds of things that are indicative of the fact that Jesus is a priority in your life. And we find in this context, he says, that it is time to wake up. Notice secondly with me, if you would. In verse number 12, he says, in light of the time, he says it's not only time to wake up, it is time to clean up. It is time to clean up. Now notice what he says in verse number 12. He says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." So now one commentator wrote this. Listen carefully. The imagery here pictures a soldier who has been engaged in a night orgy and drinking bout and still clad in the garments of his sin, has fallen into a deep sleep. But the dawn is approaching and the battle is at hand. It is time to wake up, throw off the clothes of night, and put on the battle gear. That's the imagery here. He says, because Christ is coming, wake up. But because Christ is coming, clean up. Now notice what he says in verse number 12. He says there are some things that must be removed from our life. He says there are some sins of the flesh. Notice, he says, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. He says, I want you to cast off those sets of sins, this rioting, this reveling, this carousing, and drunkenness. He says, those are sins that are prevalent among those that know not the Savior. Then he says in verse number 13, not in chambering and wantonness. What is that? Not in immorality and shamelessness. Boy, we see an example of this today in our society, in which there seems to be no shame. Things that used to be, if you would, hidden, or things that people wouldn't want other people to know about, now they're in our face, so to speak. And he says here, the sin of the flesh is that of shamelessness, that immorality. He says, now cast off those things. Then he says in verse number 13, and not in strife and envying. The other four sins were sins of the flesh. These two are sins of the spirit, that which is inside. And he says, I want you to cast off the strife and the envying. You see, even among God's people, sadly, there can be, if you would, a spirit of strife, a spirit of envy. And yet the Word of God teaches us, cast off even the strife, cast off even the envy, jealousy, wanting what someone else has. And he says in this context, he says, cast all of that off. Listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, we are going to practice a balance. I am going to be holy in my external life. I'm going to be holy also in my internal life. And I would say this, and the Bible backs me up on it, that the things you allow on the inside will come out on the outside. Remember what Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. What is he saying? You are what you think. And here in this context of Scripture, he is saying, I want you, because you are children of the day, he says, I want you to cast off the works of darkness. And he gives us that listing in verse number 13. But notice the end of verse number 14. He says, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So there, in this process of cleaning up our life, there are things that need to be removed. Now you think about this in your own individual life. Are there some sins in your life that you are allowing? Are there some things that you know to be sin, and yet you, for whatever reason, are not dealing with it? God has been impressing upon your heart and saying, hey, this is wrong. This needs to be removed. But for some reason, you're holding on to it. He's saying, hold it. In light of the return of Jesus Christ, cast that off. He says, put that aside. In fact, he goes on and says, and make no provision for the flesh. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? Pretty simple, actually. Let me share with you a personal illustration. In my home, my daughters know this. And my wife knows it, and I know it. I say, what are you talking about? There is a cabinet in my house that has a stash. And it's not health food. My girls, when they come to visit, they go to that cabinet, and if it's empty, I hear about it. Because they knew growing up that Dad had a certain secret stash of candy in there. I mean, all sorts of stuff. And where I'm going with that is this. I also have a problem, as some of you do, with cholesterol. Now, sweets are not good for cholesterol. Not at all. And most of you know I love my chocolate. I love it. In fact, chocolate doesn't last very long in that little cabinet. I love the chocolate. But having the reality in my life, I know that if I eat this, this isn't going to help no matter how much medication I take, and I do. It doesn't help if I have this stash over here. And do you know that it is hard to not put anything in that cabinet? I was going to get ready to tell you it's empty, but it's not. There's one little Snickers bar in there that's left. I'll share that with my wife, help her. But you see, what I'm getting at is this. That's making provision for my problem. You with me? I'm making provision, if you would, for the flesh. I have the problem, but I'm not going to help the problem if I continue to buy the candy bars and throw all of that in that cabinet and say I'll save that for when my girls come to visit, which isn't too much here lately. But nonetheless, so guess who gets to eat it? I know where it's at. And here's how I rationalize that. I'll say, you know, I'm really going to try harder this week, and I'm going to only eat one of those candy bars. But that's making provision for the flesh. Say, well, how should you handle that, Pastor? Quite frankly, here's how to handle it. Not have any of it in there. Quit smiling. She's over there, yes, amen, right, get it out of there. Because when I have it in there, no matter how much I rationalize, it isn't helping the problem. And sometimes this is how believers deal with sin. They'll say, you know, I'm going to try better at this. I remember one time trying to help a man through alcoholism, and he would tell me, Pastor, I think I'm getting this licked. And I'd go visit with him, and I would see he would have a bottle of beer in the refrigerator or a bottle of whiskey somewhere else in the house. And I said, sir, you can't do this. I know you want to overcome, but if you're going to get victory over this, you have got to overcome. You've got to be able to say, I'm going to get rid of all of it. I'm going to pour it down the drain. I'm not going to make provision for me to fail. And he listened, and praise God, he did clean up his life. But one of the things that he had to do, he had to take a strong attitude and say, I'm not going to make provision for the flesh. I think you get this morning, but you notice here he says, cast off the works of darkness. Jesus Christ is coming, so in light of his coming, wake up. In light of his coming, clean up. Make no provision for the flesh. But then thirdly, in light of the time in which we are living, then he says, I want you to grow up. But you see, you really can't grow up until you're cleaned up, right? If you're going to be healthy, you've got to make sure you eat the right kinds of foods and so forth. Likewise, if we're going to be spiritually healthy, we have got to do what we just talked about. We've got to clean up. But once we clean up, then what? We grow up. Now look at this, if you would. He says in verse number 12, he says, put on the armor of light. We are children of the day. We are not children of darkness. And church, it's time that we, the church, live like this in our day, because there is a lot of darkness around us, and we are called upon to be the light in this present world. We are, not the world. They only know one thing, darkness. Until they get saved and come out of darkness, that's all they know. But we, the children of God, know once what it was like to be children of darkness, but by the grace of God, we have been put in the family of God, and now we are children of the day. He says, now put on the armor of light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He says, so put on the armor of light, and then notice verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of the things, the way I can define that for you is this: be like Christ. Christ-likeness. Go with me to Philippians, would you? Philippians chapter number 3, I want you to see this particular passage. Philippians chapter 3, here was a man that wrote this particular book of Philippians, who was a very godly man. He wrote half of the New Testament scriptures. And I want you to notice what he penned in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived. Have you arrived spiritually? Boy, I know I'm not in that group. I'm in Paul's group. He says, brethren, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't apprehended. Rest of the verse. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, that's who I want to be like. And one day I will be like him. One day I'm going to be in the very likeness of Jesus Christ. But until then, I can strive to be more like him now. And he says in this context, back to Romans chapter 13, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, cast off the works of darkness, wake up, he says, clean up your life. And he says, now grow up in him, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in time with the Lord. And I wonder today, do you know, think about how long you've been saved, do you believe now you know more about the Lord than when you were first saved? I trust, I didn't ask you if you're a Bible scholar, but I trust that you can look at your life over time and say, yes, I've been growing. Yes, I've been growing. Yes, I've been growing. Because the Christian life is all about that. Growing, growing up, growing in the Spirit, growing in the Word of God. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he says, you know, I wanted to feed you the meat, but I had to give you the milk. And he had to tell them, grow up spiritually. He says, you can have the steak of the Word of God. You can have that, but you're just satisfied down here on the milk level. He says, you need to advance. You need to grow up. And that is the challenge in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we as God's people keep ourselves growing, that we grow in the Word of God, that we grow in prayer, that we grow in the aspects of the Christian life. And I realize that we're all at different levels here this morning. Some of us have been saved many, many years. Some of us have been saved just a few years. But regardless, the call is, the command is, grow up. Grow up spiritually. Have you been growing? Just look at your life over the last month. Have you been growing spiritually? You see, growing is more than just coming Sunday morning. That's a part of it, but that's just it. It's a part of it. You're not in church 7 days a week. But the other 6 days of the week, you have the opportunity to take this precious book and open it up and let God speak to you. I don't say this just because I'm your pastor, but I'm telling you, every time I open up this book, God speaks to me. It happened this morning. It happened yesterday. I was reading a verse in the book of Revelation where it says, and they shall see his face. Wow. I just paused there and I thought about that. I was challenged by it. Because I've never seen Jesus. Neither have you. We've only seen him through the eye of Scripture. But one day, get this, we're going to see Jesus face to face. Wow. Let that humble you. Fanny Crosby wrote, face to face, I shall behold him. Wow. Say, is that all you got, Pastor? That's all I needed. That was about verse number 3. I mean, I read the whole chapter, but I'm telling you, I just read that chapter and that stood out to me. And I tell you, every time you open up this book, if you'll come to it with a yearning in your heart, God, would you teach me? God will show you something. But you're never going to get it if you never open it up. You see, we sang it even this morning. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew 4. And you see, every day in the Word, I know many of you have heard me say this and say it and say it and say it. I trust it's really gotten into you that you really love to get into the Word of God. I know some of you have a habit where you listen to sermons during the week. That's great. Some of you listen to other Bible teachers, and that is good. All of those things are good helps. There are so many tools at your disposal. There's no reason why the child of God should be a spiritual baby when God wants them to be a spiritual adult. He says, I've given you all these tools. Use them. He says, grow up. Jesus is coming. Grow up. So what time is it? It's time to wake up. Have you allowed yourself spiritually to just go to sleep, kind of put it on snooze, just kind of coast? That's a dangerous place. God wants us, as he told that church in Revelation, he says, I would that you were either hot or cold, but I don't want you lukewarm. Have you allowed yourself to just coast? Jesus says, wake up. Secondly, what time is it? It's time to clean up. Is there some sin in your life this morning? The Holy Spirit has put his thumb on, if you would, and said, hey, you need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that stash, so to speak. You need to get that out of your cabinet. You need to get rid of that. You need to clean up. You need to cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. And then you need to grow up. Become more like Jesus by spending time with him every day in the Bible and in prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care. Oh, may I tell you today that one of the sweetest places to be every day is in a throne room with God in prayer. So what time is it? He says it's time to wake up. Jesus is coming. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed this morning. Would there be those here that say, Pastor, in light of Christ coming, I realize that I have allowed myself to become lackadaisical, become lazy in my life spiritually, and I need to give more attention and wake up, as the Bible says here this morning. I've allowed myself just to kind of snooze. But I need to give more serious attention to this matter of living with a spirit of watchfulness and alertness in light of the coming of Christ. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others this morning? Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Yes, are there others? God speaking to hearts. Anybody else? I wonder this morning there'd be those here who would say, Pastor, my life, I see some areas I need to clean up and grow up. Jesus is coming. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. I want to be confident at his coming. Pastor Withers, you remember me in prayer that I would clean up and grow up in my life. Are there any like that this morning? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all while we wait? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes. Amen. One last question. Would there be those here this morning who say, Pastor, all of these things are good that you have said, but quite frankly, in my life, I don't even know Jesus as my Savior. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know him as my Savior. I wonder this morning, there'd be those here that say, Pastor, remember me in prayer that I would come to know Jesus as my Savior. That's my need this morning. I want to know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know it, but I want to know. My friend, you can know based on the Bible. Say, Pastor, that's my need. Would you raise your hand where you're at? Anybody at all? Wait, say, yes, Pastor. I want to know Jesus is my Savior. I want to know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that, but I want to know. Anybody at all? Just lift your hand up. I'll acknowledge it. You put it right back down. Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, I thank you for touching hearts this morning. And Father, for those that know not the Savior, may they come to know him as Savior. For the many in this congregation who do know Jesus as Savior, help them with the decisions that you have impressed upon their heart to make this morning. Help them. Help them. We're all weak. I'm weak. We all are. We need your help from above. And so you want us to grow up. You want us to clean up. You want us to wake up. The time is nearer than we believed. And so as these things point to that, then help us in this day, in this time, to live as we ought to live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand.